For the Lord is bringing you into a good land, a land flowing with streams, and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, and. That is where we find ourselves, here in this beautiful land, this land that was inhabited long before us and hopefully will be inhabited long after us by people who get to enjoy the benefits of the beauty of our creation. This morning we get to enjoy a few of those by our beautiful vegetables and fruits that have been arranged for us, and to remind us that this is about harvest Thanksgiving. It's about being thankful for the bountiful gifts that have been given to us in creation. The very gifts that make us be alive, that give us life, that allow us to live and breathe and work and play and grieve and mourn and love and have joy. That is what creation does for us. And today is the day that we get to really remember that in our church, in our country, this weekend. And I hope that you will fully embrace it, including all of the turkey, or the whatever, tofu, or whatever it is you're eating this weekend, with whoever you're eating it with. If you're alone or with others, embrace that Thanksgiving and feel it in your heart and in your soul, so that we may indeed be generous to everyone else. Because we are warned today to remember that we have been given great gifts. We are meant to live out of those gifts, not out of a sense of what more can we get, or what more do we want, perhaps is more to the case, but to live out of the generosity that has been granted to us. And to live out of that means that we become giving souls, and we are much fuller and more able to live the life we are meant to live. Every year, I get to go, well, for the last 8 years now, I have spent a weekend or a few days doing a solo kayak camping trip. And this year, because I was on sabbatical, I was blessed with the opportunity to get to do that twice in the summer. I always do it at the beginning of the summer to remind me that it's summer and I can slow down a little bit, that we can slow down a little bit. But this year I also got to go in August, and in a way it was getting me ready to come back to be with you this fall. And so in August I went to Algonquin Park. And when I get ready to go, I have a 17-foot kayak. Now that sounds huge, but have you ever looked at a kayak? There's not a lot of space in the kayak. And so there are three hatches in which you must put all of your gear, and of course you can tie stuff on the top as well, because there are bungee cords to help you do that. The first time I went, I had to actually watch a YouTube video to find out how to pack a kayak. It's actually very important. It's a skill that we all should remember in our lives. It must be balanced. If it is too much in the front, or too much in the back, or too much to one side, or heaven forbid, too much on top of the boat and the wind catches it, it's a very wet trip. Because not only will the gear get wet, but so will you, because your boat will tip and you'll have to get back in. And so I take great care to pack my kayak, and over the years, I have begun to take less and less with me. Yes, I have a tent. I have very comfortable bedding because I'm too old to sleep it rough. I have my camping gear, my cooking gear, and I now mostly take rehydrated meals for dinner and lots of all sorts of other goodies for the rest of my meals. But when you're going on your own, there are some things you have to take. A first aid kit, an axe, and other things, because you are on your own. And so for 4 days and three nights, it's the longest I've done this, off I went. What I didn't know is there was absolutely no cell service in the entire park. And so I went, oh, I'm really alone this time. Good, great. That's fine. I can adjust to not talking to people, but what if something happens? What if something happens? And that's when the gift of generosity comes in. You must remember that everything in life is bigger than you and your worries. So in faith, I got on my boat, and an hour and a half later was at my island campsite, which was beautiful. During that time, I knew a laugh. Those of you who know me, I'm an extrovert. You all know that if you know me. And you can imagine that 4 days and three nights might be difficult for me. It is the complete opposite. Because when I pack my boat and head out, it's like being made clean again somehow. It's like you throw out all the stuff you don't need and take only what you need. Just what you need to live for 4 days and three nights. All the excess is left in the house, in the garage, in the car. And when I get into that boat and head out, it's like I've been washed clean, like I'm free of all the baggage that I carry. Not just my stuff, but my hopes, my fears, my dreams, my anxieties, my cares. They get stripped away, and I'm made clean, just like the lepers today. But after four nights and 3 days, during that time, when you're scoured by the wind and washed clean by the rainstorms and baked by the sun, and you've not had a shower, and you've not talked to anyone, except communed with nature, and been there in that cradle that God has given us. And I always feel very deeply the presence of God when I'm camping, because there's no one else to distract me. And so every bird, and hummingbird, and loon particularly, and all of that creation speaks and reminds me that I am just a little speck in this great creation, but that I'm responsible for this great creation and how I affect it as well. And so when I come back, I'm a bit of a different person. I'm a bit of a different person. Think of our lepers this morning. They were set aside. They were shunned. They weren't allowed to have any baggage except the huge baggage of their illness. That's what they carried. They carried the fear of interacting with other humans. They carried the shame of having something that other people did not have. So much so that when Jesus is there, they approach him but keep their distance. They don't want to go too close. They don't want to infect Jesus, but they also are afraid. They're afraid of what that will do to him, to them, and what they will look like if they are too close to him. And Jesus doesn't touch them. He just says to them, go and talk to the priests and they'll make you clean. In fact, he doesn't even say that. He says, go and show yourselves. Show yourselves. Be vulnerable. Go to the priests. And they do it. They're probably desperate. Probably they're as desperate as I am sometimes when I get into that boat and head out kayaking. They're desperate to be made clean. And they do go. And they are made clean. They are cleansed of their illness. They are free to be regular members of society again. And off they go. They do probably what you and I would do. They get back to their life. They create a new life. They find new friends. They maybe get jobs, a new home. They're back in society again. However, one of them turns back and praises God in that moment, recognizes what gift, what generosity has been given to him. And he prostrates himself at Jesus' feet because Jesus is the one who gave him that gift and thanks him. And he was a foreigner. He was not one of Jesus' people. He was a stranger. He had no need to do that, but he did. The need came from himself. And in the generosity of Jesus' moment, he actually recognized it and gave Jesus something, gave Jesus gratitude and thanks. And Jesus is curious. He says, well, wait a minute, what 10 of you made clean? Like, where did the other guys go? Was none of them, did none of them recognize the gift that they were given and come back? Except you, and you shouldn't even have recognized it because you're not one of us. You're a foreigner. And Jesus says something that I had never noticed before until today. Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. this leper had been cleaned, like me. Stripped away, things taken off, all hopes, dreams, fears gone, and made clean, just as I was cleansed on my trip. Stripped back to what I need and who I am. But that's different, isn't it, than being made well? To be made well means that we become fully ourselves and the best that we are to be through God. Being clean is one thing, but being made well, now that is what we all hope for. Being made well means that we know who we are, we know where we stand, we know what we have been given, and we want to give it back. And Jesus says that his faith made him well. His faith, the fact that he came back and believed that something had happened. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. Yeah, when I go kayak camping, I'm pretty proud of myself, let's be honest. 4 days and 3 nights, longest I've ever done that, I had an amazing time, and I was good at it. Despite the rain and the wind and the storms and the heat and all of that, I managed to load my boat so there was nothing on the outside. It was clean, it was clear, I could fit everything I needed in that boat, and off I went. And it took 4 days for me to be made well, for me to recognize the gifts that had been given to me, to recognize that whatever I took back from that trip was meant to be shared, to recognize that the faith that God even has given me is what we are meant to share. We're to remember that it's not all about us. We can do our best, we can do everything possible, but unless we give thanks, and give indeed out of that generosity, the place that we stand, this land, this beauty, this gift of love and life that God has given us, only then are we not only cleansed, but made well. So while you're eating all that turkey or tofu, and while you're communing with your friends and your family, and even if you're eating alone, remember your faith. And more importantly, remember the faith that God has in you. And may you embrace it. May you be cleansed, and may you be made well, so that we can all share that with the world who is wanting to hear it so badly. Happy Thanksgiving.